Building Effective State Legal Action Organizations with Tom Boglioli and Gene Hoffman. And I would like to say that I remember meeting Tom Boglioli in some strange hotel room somewhere Alan was with me, okay?
You walked right into that one.
That's right. I did. But ask Masad about the electrical closet. Okay, he'll be at the reception tonight. Be sure you ask him. Gentlemen?
Thank you. We're just going to get set up real quick. We're going to change this up a little bit. Instead of having two lecturers talk to you, Gene and I are going to talk to each other and have more of a conversational approach to this. We have the same topic. We have a lot of the same things to say. And invariably, when we do this speech, we end up thinking to ourselves, wow, I really would have just liked to have said a little bit more on top of what you said. So this way, to make it all make sense, we're going to have a more of a conversational approach.
Well, first off, we should introduce ourselves. Most of you know who we are, but some don't. I'm Gene Hoffman. I'm the co-founder of the Tal Guns Foundation, also internet executive, but have been active in messing with the government since 1999.
So, all right, you probably knew him. You probably don't know me. My name's Tom Boglioli. I'm one of the co-founders of Commonwealth Second Amendment, which is an organization out of the state of Massachusetts, which is very much behind the lines. My co-founder, Brent Carlton, was out there at one point. Anyway, so there he is.
So we'll start this off. Let me ask you a question. What was the impetus that started Com2i?
Brent came to me and he said, we had never met. Brent and I had never met. Basically, Brent comes to me via the internet. We're both members of a place called Northeast Shooters. And he says, basically, there's no one doing this inside Massachusetts. This being litigating. We have a very effective lobbying organization, but we don't have a very effective litigating organization because there was none. So we basically got together and said, yeah, I think we can do this. And, I think the main point of that, though, is that we looked at it and we saw there was someone not doing something. Had we said, okay, there's someone doing something, we would have stopped and went and volunteered with them and worked with them. One of the key pieces here is you want to make sure that you find a niche. If you're going to create a state and organization, find a niche. Find something that's not being done. So, you've started many organizations, many businesses, a lot. What is it like starting an organization like this, a civil rights organization?
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, you have to ask yourself what you should. You started to touch on that a little bit. I will tell you that, in a lot of states, either you already have existing organizations that you should be involved with instead. There are definitely different kind of environments out there. Massachusetts, California, we're behind enemy lines. There is more work than any organization could hope to do. But what you have to also build is the ability to fundraise. You've got to be able to actually get the dollars and cents you need to be able to execute on, whatever it is you're trying to do. I think a lot of people underestimate how much work that is, how much ongoing work that is. The other issue is to really effectively fundraise, you've got to deliver product. It's something we talk about a lot. We actually at Cal Guns have, delivered people getting guns they couldn't get before in California. We've defended people. We have real tangible progress that we can point to. And then that leads to being able to do the fundraising side. But, don't underestimate the administrivia. Running a C3, filing all your taxes on time, getting all of those other things done. These are the blocking and tackling things you have to do in any business.
Yeah. And so, actually, Com2i, this is somewhere where Cal Guns and Com2i is very different. And Cal Guns Foundation, is in the state of California with, 30-some-odd million people in the state of California?
38 million.
38 million. We have six. And there's far fewer percentage-wise of gun owners in Massachusetts than there is in California. So one of the things you have to do when you're looking at, fundraising. What is your potential for fundraising? His potential in California is far larger than the one in Massachusetts. So you also have to basically look within your budget. You have to say, okay, I'm not going to get as much money as another organization. I may be in a state like Montana. And you have to start looking at that. What is the potential for the organization? And that leads me to a question for you.
Sure.
What technology do you use?
So the technology thing is very different here. First of all, you know, having folks who understand social media and the actual ability to build a mailing list, build a Twitter following, build a Facebook following, it is so much easier to organize and fundraise when you know how to do that. Add to that some of the basic technology pieces, like making sure that you can take all sorts of online payment methods and, you know, making it very easy for someone who's just read your release about winning a federal case and going, yeah, this is awesome, I should support them. Make sure you make it very easy for them to support you right then and there. The other piece of this is almost all of our infrastructure is virtual. It is, you know, SaaS, it's in the cloud, our membership lists, our activities, you know, we do everything we can electronically, email, you know, we really don't need a physical presence. In fact, our office has kind of bopped around quite a little bit, much to the chagrin of some people who like to send us checks, which is actually in some ways harder for us than anything else we deal with. So, you know, the technology pieces of this and the understanding what you can do with social media are extremely important.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. I was thinking about Bloomberg. He walks into a state, he drops down $8 million, $10 million and buys an organization with that's been built up, already has a lot of this infrastructure. You're not going to be able to do that. You're going to have to go in, if you want to start a state organization, you're going to have to go in and start from scratch. And it is a lot of work. A lot of work.
So let me bring up something. We're talking about legal organizations, legal action organizations, and they're a little bit different. And how do you feel about that, and how does Com2A handle it?
We like being a legal organization, actually. We don't want to do lobbying. And one of the things is it has a very different set of demands. If you're a lobbying organization, yes, there's some things fundraising and other things that are going to be similar. But when it comes to dealing with plaintiffs and organizing lawyers, one of the main things is if you have an organization that's specifically designed to litigate, you need to have some people in-house who are not getting paid to litigate to direct all that. Because if you just let the lawyers go free, sometimes you get bad lawyers come in and give you bad ideas. They sound great to you, but you need to be able to edit. You need to be able to say, no, that's a bad case to do. Or no, we need to wait. And so that's one of the biggest things for when you're dealing with a litigation civil rights organization, you need to know when not to file a lawsuit. Because believe me, there's probably more times than we don't file something than we do. And the reality is that's actually a good thing.
Yeah. Well, and that also leads me to, we are all in the early days of this still. Only now has some of the very basics, and most of those are SAF cases, really started to build the building blocks necessary to someday make it that a lawyer who knows nothing about gun law can actually win a gun case. We are nowhere near that today. And it's also why you'll see that, you know, you'll see our state organizations do things that don't exactly look like they're the most important items. You know, in California, I think people would tell me that we should have been running an assault weapons bill already, and we are not. And the reason for that is because we think we're going to get what we need to be able to win about semi-automatic rifles from Pena, which is our micro-stamping challenge with SAF. A lot of these are, you know, slow building blocks that allow you to go to the next building block after you win that first building block. Having that patience and that centrist approach, in a sense, is extremely important. You know, we've watched this in California where the unloaded open carry folks basically slowly but surely added law after law that we knew both the legislature and the governor would sign and that would be unchallengeable in the future. So instead of having a world in which we would have had at least some open carry and then likely licensed concealed carry in California, you will only be able to conceal carry in California. You won't be able to open carry at all.
Yeah, and actually Com2A, one of the things that Com2A does with regards to litigation and these building blocks is we actually have biannual or even it's probably going to become quarterly, we have meetings with lawyers who are 2A interested. I don't say experienced, I say interested, because they're very competent attorneys, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to the Second Amendment and civil rights litigation, they don't necessarily do this on a daily basis. They typically are dealing with much more what I call retail law. They're dealing with wills and criminal charges and immigration's another one. But they don't deal with civil rights, and it is a specialty. So what we're doing is we use these meetings to develop the talent within the state of Massachusetts in order to to educate them on what we know and what we do. We bring the information back from organizations like SAF and CalGUNS. We become a resource for them to become better. We're not necessarily teaching them because they got a lot more experience and knowledge than we do as far as the law is concerned, but it's the overall structure and overall approach.
Though I would add that we have a running joke in our organizations, which is the federal rules of civil procedure and the federal gun rules of civil procedure, and they don't look anything like each other.
Yes. I call it the but it's guns doctrine.
Yeah. Get this gun stuff off my desk is the other term we use.
Yes.
Look, part of what we're talking about, and it's extremely important, is these nuances about how the courts rule in gun cases, how they handle gun cases. You know, your average lawyer, if you asked him about federal civil litigation, would have no idea about how weird these cases actually end up being. And the key to running a good organization like ours is actually developing the bench. You know, there are a few really great Second Amendment lawyers that you've already heard from and met, and they're usually here at GRPC. What's important then is creating that next layer down of folks who handle even the more mundane items or the other things. I mean, in California, we could run something like 40 lawsuits at a time between all of the sheriffs misbehaving and all of the local municipalities doing all the stuff the municipalities do. The problem is you just don't have enough hours in the day or enough legal time to bill from the legal teams. And so it's really building that, you know, kind of core capability of finding lawyers who understand the issue, are comfortable with the cause, or are comfortable with, frankly, taking on some of the burdens this cause adds for some lawyers. You know, the legal community is not exactly friendly to those who like firearms, let's be clear.
No, absolutely not. And we've had lawyers who had to leave their corporate job or their big law firm job because basically they hit a glass ceiling, and that's what happens. You know, you mentioned something about building the bench, and one of the things that COM2A has done is we file amicus briefs with our state Supreme Court. We have a rather anti-gun state Supreme Court, as one can imagine. But one of the things is that we've noticed as we look at some of their gun-related decisions, they don't understand guns. They don't understand anything about guns. Some of the things that come out in these decisions, and especially the oral arguments, are real head-scratchers. So what we've done is we've developed a desire to be a resource for the state Supreme Court. We know that they don't like us. They don't necessarily want to be on our side, but we think we can provide value by providing amicus briefs to gun-related cases at the state Supreme Court level. And I think it's starting to pan out.
So what's been the most surprising thing about starting COM2A?
The work. The amount of work. Both Gene and I run our own businesses, although mine's a lot smaller than his. And you know, I've taken a hit in how much I can bill. This is just so many hours in the day. And Brent as well has a small business owner, and he's taken a hit in the amount of hours he can do. There's only so much you can delegate. Especially when you think about it, any small business, there's usually, you know, there's a command structure. You can't have an organization that everyone's the chief. You have to have a chief. Brent Carlton is our chief. And you can delegate certain things, but you can't delegate everything. So it's a significant amount of work.
We've actually gone to the point where we actually have now a full-time ED, just because there's that much work.
Well, it's a bigger state. You can afford one. And again, you have to work within your resource boundaries. You have to work within your boundaries. You have to be very creative about that resource. You know, I'll tell you, one of the things I want to know from you is, what is the most rewarding thing that's happened?
You know, it is definitely the rewarding piece when we take people who have been arrested illegally for violating California's Byzantine gun laws. They aren't actually guilty, and we get them off. There is nothing better than being that group who, you know, you get that phone call, you go out there, you get a lawyer involved, you calm them down, you calm their spouse down, you know, you get things back to normal. And then in some cases, we're even able to go back and sue the sheriff or the chief of police and recover funds to get them to train so that they don't arrest people for things that aren't crimes. That's definitely been the most interesting and most rewarding piece, is just, you know, helping those people out.
Yeah, you know, we don't do as much with regards to the criminal bar, pretty much because the Massachusetts state, you know, the police departments and what have you, don't actually prosecute a lot of lawful gun owners. It's a weird thing. It's probably a whole panel we can dedicate to why that is. But I have a similar story. We had our first lawsuit, or the first COM2A lawsuit, which was funded by SAF, was Fletcher v. Haas. And it was an alienage case where these were U.S., they were, they were naturalized in the U.S., but they were not citizens, they were just green card holders. And they were just trying to get a gun license, and they were basically relegated to a second tier of gun owner in Massachusetts. And once we got them their guns, and we brought them out to a promotional shoot that we did, and to see the smile on their face when they walked in with a gun of their own that they had purchased through, and you know, you got to realize these are people who are gun owners in their past countries, one in Ireland and the other in Australia. And at the end of the day, to look at the smile on their face and to see that we had an impact was huge. And it's huge, and it's happened multiple times since with some of our cases.
Yeah. One of the interesting things to note, we were talking about this last night, actually. California is weirdly legally a little better than Massachusetts, but it's a harder environment to be a gun owner. One of the things that's very interesting about California is that there is a conspiracy, is about the best way to put it, of DAs and judges in the California state court system to try to continue to make California gun laws more onerous than they are on their black and white reading. It was an interesting strategy for quite a while because there was no good way to respond to that. You know, most people, when faced with, you know, $5, $10, $15,000 legal bills, and it's even, you know, larger than that depending, don't want to fight. And so all of a sudden you get interpretations of these laws that are even worse than they are on the books. So that was the one major reason why we've had to become very active in criminal defense, because otherwise you saw these laws creep and become even more onerous than they already were.
Yeah, and I actually think that's a great point, because what ends up happening is you have to, when we started COM2A, Brent and I and Rob Boudry, we had this idea of what it was going to look like and how it was going to operate. That has been completely turned on its head. You have to be flexible. You have to let nature take its course. So what ended up happening was, I believe I was slated to be more of the fundraiser and to go out and try to raise funds, and I think Brent was going to take the legal stuff, and I think Robkins continues to do what he does, which is finance, so that's a good thing. But basically, Brent and I have flipped. I'm doing the legal stuff. He does the organizational stuff. He's the organizational head. He deals with the fundraising more often. But you have to be, and it was not planned that way. It was planned the exact opposite. You have to be flexible. And, you know, in the face of a defense to your offense, you have to be flexible and turn and change. I think that's another good point.
Yeah. The other thing I would note is that there are quite a few interesting state organizations, and the interplay between us is actually very valuable. So if you're thinking about doing this, or if you haven't reached out, a lot of the ideas aren't necessarily directly translatable, so exactly one theory doesn't work from California to Florida or vice versa. But then usually you start figuring out interesting patterns or interesting new challenges that you can use. And those interconnections, those conversations, you know, they help on the fundraising side because, look, sharing those things amongst the different social media pieces, you know, all of a sudden Florida Carry gets donations from California for good work they've done. Those are kind of the interesting ways you can work together with the other state orgs to really kind of expand your reach and expand what you're up to in the first place.
Yeah, that was one of the things when we first created COM2A. We wanted to make sure we worked well with all the other state organizations in Massachusetts. Granted, it was only one of them, but one of the first things we did was we reached out to them and we talked to them. We made sure that they knew that we weren't coming after them, and, you know, we basically wanted to make sure that we worked together. And it's been a great relationship ever since. We've been with 3-4 years now, 5 years. It's been a great relationship ever since. So I think we are getting the signal. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
We'll be around for questions later.
Yes. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you guys and thank everybody for your patience. This has been, I think this has been my hardest year at PC, because we came here with an agenda and we didn't have one by a